Praise the Lord, church.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. It's so good to hear the testimonies tonight and the scriptures. And there's no place I'd rather be than right here tonight. And I just want to stop by saying this. Have you ever walked into a room and forgot what you went in there for? And then you go ahead and sit down, and then you realize 40 minutes later you meant to turn the stove off. So now it's a little late. Or you meant to bring the dog in or let him out, whatever. You just forgot what you went in there for. And that was me. In as much as my life, as I would come around the church when I was out there in the streets. I was an old gangbanger, old dope fiend, whoremonger, pervert, thief, liar, the whole nine. God, the enemy gave me the full package. You know, I took on the full package. But here's the thing, I would come into places like this, and I would come to churches, and I would come to support groups, countless and countless and countless and countless of support groups, countless and countless and countless of church services, really not understanding what it was I wanted or what I needed. And I'm going to read the scripture, and then I'm going to expound on that so it'll make sense. Just bear with me. I'm going to read from Matthew 25. There we go. It says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. Father, I ask that you would anoint these lips of clay, Father God, Lord. Give me something to give, Lord, to your people tonight, Father God. Speak to your people. And a rhema word, Lord, that we can apply it in our hearts and take it with us and apply it to our lives, Father God. Let your word not return void. Give us the strength to hide your word in our heart that we might not sin against you. Be careful to give you all the praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You know, it doesn't say, but I only imagine, out of those 5 foolish virgins, all 10 virgins had what it took. They were in the right place. Tonight, we're all in the right place. We're in the place to grow. Every one of us are here. We never have to go back to the lives we came from.
Yes.
We're in the right place. But the truth of the matter is, someone's going to say to tonight, hear the message, and going to go back to yesterday.
Come on.
That's the truth of the matter. And so then you ask yourself, as a mentor, you ask yourself, what did I do wrong? I know over the years, Ben had to ask himself, what did I do wrong? Marvin, what did I do wrong? Johnny, what did I do wrong? What did I do wrong? And as I began to understand, it wasn't never about Ben. It was never about Marvin. It was never about Donnie. Because people like me would come in for the wrong motives. And I can only imagine either these virgins, those 5 foolish virgins, wanted to look good on the outside.
Come on.
So on the outside, see, we wanted to clean up the outward appearance. So they had their lamps. They had what it took to be here. And if you're looking at them, you think, yeah, they're ready. Yeah, they're ready. They can say the right thing. They got the right stuff. But never did they come to get what was really offered at this place. Because they didn't. And I liken that oil as into the anointing. I liken that oil as unto the real message that was given. They didn't have that, but they had the outward appearance of being what it was. You know, and I'll talk to the young man so I can share this story. I was in prison some years ago, 1989, in Westville, and I slept right next to a man by the name of Elisha Harris. Now, I don't know if anybody here knows Mr. Elisha Harris. But we slept in, slept right next to each other. Because years before that, his sister and I dated, so I knew him. So we slept next to each other. And Elijah would tell me stories. And I would tell him stories, and we would read the Bible together. Now, we both looked just alike. We both looked just alike. We were both reading. He would come and get me when it was time to go to the chapel services. Now me, I was living a double life. I was still running with the black gangster disciples, so I was still hiding behind the locker, smoking weed, and doing my thing, and he would come and get me. Like, you gonna go? So I would go down there with him. So people would see him and I got this big Bible with me on my side. I looked like Elisha. I looked like I was going after the same thing Elisha was going for. We sat side by side. He would raise his hands in praise. I would raise my hands. We looked just alike. We were doing the exact same things. I go back to prison 5 years later. And who do I see in jail 5 years later? I see Elijah. But there's a difference. Elijah was a chaplain. And I was back in orange suit again. But wait a minute. Didn't I go to church with Elijah? Didn't I go to the fellowship with Elijah? Didn't we pray beside the band together? Why didn't it work for me? So I had to be, see, when I'm a different kind of preacher. I preach those things that are applicable to my life because I know what it's like to struggle and not be able to come out of those things that held me hostage all those years. See, I went to college. I can use a whole bunch of big words and sit here and talk about the conundrums of this. But no, I want to be able to preach to the people that can understand what the things that held me hostage. The things that you don't even look at.
Come on.
I was always at the services. I was always at the church service. I was always at the chapel. But never in my heart did I understand that there was a change. I thought that by going to the service, that would change me. I thought that as long as I'm there and the people that were in charge saw me there, and if I could stand up and memorize a couple verses and do my thing, then it was just okay. See, I had the wrong reason. I had the wrong reasons in my heart. And I don't know whether that because I look back at my life now, and I think that a lot of that was because I just didn't understand. Because a lot of that I just didn't believe. I thought that if I just acted, if I acted like the Christians, if I acted like these people, my life would change. And I look at these five, these verses. They were all there. They all had their lamps. To the naked eye, they all looked just alike. To the naked eye, none of us could have went and pointed out and said, you're not ready. Because they all appeared to be ready. But some of them weren't really diligent in what they were doing. And I say that in as much as because what you need is here. What I needed was in that Bible study. What I needed was in that very first service I ever went to. The things I needed were there. But it's a mindset. See, because I thought once I got a good feeling. See, because I'm going to tell you something. Over the years, the Spirit has fallen on me. And I was happy. The Spirit has fallen on me and I cried. The Spirit has fallen on me and I was excited. Ready to go. But He was never in me. Because I didn't know Him. I didn't know Jesus. I went to appease Elisha. I went because if I went every day with Elisha, they may give me a title and let me stand up front. What I was going for, I figured if I got a title and stood up front, that means I made it. That was in 1989 when him and I slept next to each other. I gave my life to God May 21st, 2011. That's how many more years it took. After that, I had three more prison bits. After that, knowing the word, when he says, you got a verse to memorize, I can memorize the whole thing. You know, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Know ye that the Lord, he is God, and it is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord, he is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures through all generations. That's Psalms 100 in its entirety. See, but I'm going to tell you something. I didn't learn that after I got saved. I can memorize those back then. Because I thought if I memorized the verses, then I would make it. If I memorized the verses, it would just be okay. But there was nothing wrong with memorizing the verses. But how am I memorizing the verses and I've got a bag of dope in my sock? I'm memorizing the verses, but I'm still going back in the back rooms, blessing in other people to the gang of the Black Gangster Disciple. I'm memorizing these verses, but I'm still teaching people the literature of the Black Gangster Disciple. I'm teaching the we, the doth, the I. The creed, I'm teaching the blueprint, I'm teaching these things, but I'm still teaching it in the name of the Lord. God, the Galatians 6 and 7 says what? It said, do not be deceived. God will not be mocked. So a man soweth, that also shall he reap. So there I was. A Bible toting, verse memorizing, hypocrite. And I'm not calling anybody, I'm telling you what held me hostage. And I know there's someone in the room that struggles like that, just like me. And those were the things that nobody would tell me back then. Because I thought osmosis was something that was just enough if I just learned, if I just read. You know, and I would call home or whatever and get the most expensive Bible. I had the best looking Bible. No, man, I like that Bible. Yeah, okay, yeah. Because I wanted to show off. I wanted you to look at me and think I was something. See, I'm going to tell you something. I've been saved now 7.5 years. God has kept me out of the bed with women. God has kept me off of dope. God has kept me from stealing. God has kept me from fighting. God has kept me from lying. God has kept me from recruiting anybody into the Black Gangster Disciples. He's kept me from all those things, but my name still comes up in some crazy stuff. But you know something? I'm okay with that. Because I would rather somebody have something bad to say and me living right than somebody having something good to say and I'm not living a nickel worth of nothing.
Amen. Amen.
And I just want to encourage somebody. I'm not going to be long. I just want to encourage you that you can make it. But you have to ask yourself, why did I come? No, I'm not talking about that why did I come because I don't mean that memorized speech. Well, I came because my life was this and I wanted. No, that real thing in your heart. When nobody's there but you. Yeah. When there's nobody to impress but you. Why did I come? See, when I'm going to share this, I remember some of you that heard this. When I was a young kid living in the projects. And in the projects, a bunch of kids out back playing. But my mother would make us come in and take a shower. I hated to come in and take a shower because I wanted to be out back playing with the other kids. So I get mad at my mother, and I would tell her, I'll fix you. I'll fix you. I'd go in the bathroom, turn the shower on, and sit on the toilet. Just sat there. You know, it took me a while to understand that the same stinking little kid that went into the bathroom was the same stinking little kid that came out. It took me a while to understand that shower was not to benefit my mother. That shower was to benefit me. It took me some time to understand that coming to these meetings isn't about what Marvin thinks about me.
Amen.
It's not about what he thinks about me. It's not about what anybody thinks about me. It's coming to get what I need to be whole. It's coming to get what I need that I can be the man that God called me to be. It's about being able to walk forward with my head up and walking in integrity no matter what. It's about knowing that the fear, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Knowing that people, and someone told me one time, listen, Lyle, Brother Lyle, how come you, all the stuff you did and all the people you hurt, like your brother said, how come you act like that nothing is wrong? Everything is just okay. See, that stuff doesn't shake me because the Lord lives in me. I have hidden the word in my heart that I might not sin against him. And the Holy Ghost spoke out and I began to tell him. I said, because therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. And I refuse to carry around a dead man's problems.
Amen.
Yeah, amen. Come on, brother. So I'm going to leave you with this.
Come on.
The word, this is what saved me. This verse here. You should know the truth.
The truth?
and the truth will make you free.
Right.
The truth will make you free. When you're all by yourself, when there's no glint, no glamour, when there's nobody to pat you on the back, when there's nobody to say, man, I like what you just said, then you ask yourself, what am I really doing? Who am I really trying to be? See, my life was so dishonest. God said, Lord, you got to be honest about everything you do. You got to be honest about everything. So I wear my life on my sleeve. My past, you know, people try to say this, and they're going to say it to you. Say, well, I remember when, or didn't you used to? Why didn't you? Don't you still? And I look at them and tell them. I say, brother, sister, I may have done what you said I did, but I'm not who you say I am.
Amen.
And that's
Amen.
What you do. You stand on the promises of God. God said you're a new creation, then you be a new creation.
Amen.
Don't let yesterday hold you hostage. And let me say this, is the last I ever said, I'm closing. No matter what you're going through, it's you where you're supposed to be.
Amen.
If you ask God to be in your life and take your life, you are right where you're supposed to be. See, because nothing, it says, somebody said it earlier, Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things. God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. You have been called. So now you got to go through what it takes to make you what you need to be. You know, I've tried out for the basketball team when I was young. And I was a pretty good basketball player. And I got out there. For the first 2 weeks, we didn't pull out a basketball. We were just running. And I said, you know what? This coach don't know what he's doing. Dilly got to be the stupidest coach in the world. I'm talking about it behind his back. I'm talking about it at home. I'm talking about it to my friends. But we went on to win a state championship that year. You know what I mean? He knew what he was doing. He knew what it took to get where it needed to be. I didn't. God knows what it takes to get you where you need to be. You don't. Surrender your life to God.
Amen.
Amen.
And allow God to take you wherever he wants to take you, because he knows the end of the story. God bless you. Let's pray.